got Prickles in the studio, and we've just been joined by Steve Winter as well. Morning, Steve. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Yep, lovely to see the sun.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day out there, and it's going to last all day, so you need your sunglasses today. You won't need an umbrella. Now, you're from White Fire. What is... Because I used to light fires as a kid. I'm guessing that's not what it's all about.
Might be to help you put them out. But
what is White Fire?
White Fire, we trade as White Fire and Security now, because we've sort of expanded the business a little bit. But we're a fire and security company, primarily fire-based. So we look after people's fire alarms, install fire alarms, look after the fire extinguishers. But we also do some security work, intruder alarms, CCTV systems, door entry systems, that sort of thing.
Right, okay. Well, let's deal with the fire thing, because I'm fascinated. Because, you know, like I said, I used to light fires when I was a kid, and there's certain things that you should and shouldn't do. There's different fire extinguishers as well. One's got, I would imagine there's many in there. I'm picturing lots of foam.
There is lots of foam. There are five main different types of fire extinguishers: water, foam, powder, carbon dioxide, and wet chemical.
I'm guessing they should all be used on various different things.
Yeah, this might get a bit dull, but yeah, there are six different classes of fire, and each fire extinguisher is rated as per the class it's deemed to be suitable for. So, for example, a water extinguisher is Class A. Class A are flammable solids, so you use a water fire extinguisher on flammable solid fires. There are more flammable solids around than anything else, so in this studio, the desk, the notice boards, the paper... the first aid kit, the chairs, everything's a flammable solid. We're flammable solids. Our clothes are flammable solids. So Class A fire extinguishers are generally what you find and about.
So should we be, like, switched on when it comes down to which fire extinguisher to use, when, you know, in different circumstances?
In business premises, yes. There's a requirement that the sort of the law that covers fire safety is the Regulatory Reform Order.
Right.
In brackets, fire safety. And that covers the provision of fire equipment in business premises, the sort of fire alarms you'd have, the escape routes, etc., etc. And in the Regulatory Reform Order, it says that employees should be trained in use of the fire equipment.
Right, okay.
So, yes.
So, I mean, I know there's something in place, but there's a fire extinguisher there. So what can that be used on? What should that be used
well,
on?
Well, that's a powder fire extinguisher, and that can actually be used on virtually everything. If you look at it there, you've got Class A for flammable solids, Class B for flammable liquids, C for flammable gases, and you've also got a symbol for electrics on there. So it can be used on everything, and it's presumably been put in here because there's quite a lot of electrical equipment for electrical risk. The downside of using a powder extinguisher is that if you've already got a fire, so you've got a lot of smoke, the extinguisher's, you know, it's full of powder. So you're unleashing a sort of, if you imagine a big canister of talcum powder, it gets in your eyes, it gets up your nose, it gets at the back of your throat. It's not particularly pleasant stuff. So it can actually make escaping a little bit harder. If you're asthmatic, it doesn't do you a great deal of good. So normally you wouldn't necessarily have a powder where people are looking to escape from an internal area. You'd probably have a carbon dioxide, which is for electrical use, and a water or a foam or something like that. So it's good and it will do everything, but there's a risk element attached to a powder. So they're slowly but surely being pulled out of business premises.
This is fascinating. This really, I'm not convinced. I thought it's just, you know, you have...
We've got the wrong fire extinguisher.
It's a disaster.
Silly.
We need goggles to use it.
It sounds quite complicated, but I'm guessing there's a simple way around it.
Well, all our engineers go off on training courses. That they're three-day courses. They're fairly intense, but it's not rocket science once you get used to it. It's fairly straightforward.
Because they're all different coloured, aren't they? The labels are all different colours to help you identify
each,
as well.
Yeah, each different type of fire extinguisher has a different colour on it. For example, down on the floor there, you've got a carbon dioxide, now I can see.
Which has got a black label on it.
Oh, they're all behind me. Oh, and you've got a water. You've got everything in here.
They knew Ian was here.
They're taking over
as well, I think. There was one behind me, but that's obviously moved. But
that's your own, that is.
it's absolutely fascinating. So I can see a blue thing on there. Does that mean that that says, I can just see powder? Is that powder?
Yeah, that's a powder over there.
They're all well marked. But what happens if you're colourblind?
Well, hopefully you can still read.
Well, yeah, I suppose so.
If you put your glasses on...
Yeah, no, I suppose, yeah, that's a good point, yeah. So what would be the other ones? Just so, for instance, if people are now listening to this and thinking, crikey, I never knew this. What are we looking at? We're looking at the blue for the powder, okay? Mm-hmm. What other colours have we got?
You've got black for carbon dioxide.
Right, okay.
Red for water.
Okay.
A sort of creamy tan for foam.
Creamy tan?
Yeah, sort of creamy colour.
See, that's where I'm... and that's for foam?
That's for foam, and a bright yellow for wet chemical.
Okay.
And wet chemical are only to be used... Well, they work on flammable solids, but they're generally placed for deep fat fryers. So restaurants, care homes, that sort of thing, you find wet chemicals.
Okay, so just say, for instance, if you came into a radio station like this one, what would you expect? What should you see? What are we properly... don't get us into trouble.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you're probably covered.
Yeah, we're probably
now,
covered.
What I would say is probably you don't necessarily need the powder, but you've got the carbon dioxide and you've got a water, so I'd stick with those two and get rid of the powder.
Okay.
And that way, if you do have a fire in here, you can find the door easily.
Okay, that's fair enough, isn't it?
And you won't have an asthma attack.
Or need your goggles.
Yeah. Or need your goggles or breathing apparatus.
So what are the general basic issues that you have when you go into companies and obviously households as well?
Well, the first thing, it all changed in the mid-2000s when the regulatory reform order came in. But all business premises these days are required to have a fire risk assessment. And the fire risk assessment, if you like, is the fire safety bible for that premises. And the risk assessment will detail the requirements for extinguishers, will detail the requirements for fire alarms, numbers of escape routes in restaurants and theatres, and anywhere people were gathering, it will tell you how many people you can have in the premises. So really, that's the start of anything with fire safety. Now it's the fire risk assessment. So if we're going into a building fresh, we'll ask to see the risk assessment. If there isn't one there, we can provide one, and there are other companies that provide them too. And equally, we can send one of our extinguisher guys in, and they'll do a survey of the premises and sort of say the requirements for the extinguishers, likewise fire alarms. But the risk assessment is where it all starts.
Okay. Is that a risk assessment? Is that something totally different to a fire drill then?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the fire drill kind of... Sorry, I'm just reading it. That doesn't make good radio, really, does it? that's more of a sort of evacuation policy that's on the wall there, which would form part of the risk assessment.
Okay.
But the risk assessment is like the, it's like the Bible of fire safety for that building.
Right, okay. I'll tell you what, it's a minefield, isn't it? I mean, it must be an interesting job to go into various different places and just sort of, size up, hey, look, you've got the wrong one there, or that's going to be a problem, and so on.
It is, and whilst there are government-based guidance documents out there to sort of lead you down the path, which you need to know fairly well, it is a bit of a minefield, and to a degree it's based on your opinion. And another risk assessor might go in and have a different opinion. But things like the placement of extinguishers, there are British standards that tell you what you should do and shouldn't do. So, it's pretty solid.
Are you an expert on fire then, when it comes down to it? Because, I bet you that if you've got like a fire at home, I bet you know how to get it going. Yeah, so are you?
I wouldn't.
You sound like you're asking for tips.
I wouldn't necessarily say that, no.
Right, okay.
I might know what to, I might have a vague idea, but not necessarily. I'm not a fire specialist in terms of starting them.
Yeah, right.
I hear some funny, I do a lot of fire training, and you hear some sort of funny stories about what different people have done in terms of...
Right.
So, I came across a girl the other day who was saying, do you remember when you were young and used to spray aerosol on your jeans and then set fire to it?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, no, I don't remember that.
Don't you?
I didn't do that.
That sounds fairly dangerous to me.
Yeah. Do you know, I've always been fascinated by fire, but I mean, it is a serious subject. And I say you really, really should know your stuff, the simple basic things. And are the courses that you go on, do you train people?
I go on a lot of courses myself, but we also offer sort of fire safety awareness courses, which I come round and do in the various people's business premises. And part of that is the different types of fire extinguishers and how to use them. And we sort of go out the back of the building and spray some water extinguishers and use some carbon dioxide extinguishers so people can sort of get an idea of how they feel.
That sounds like fun. Because let's be honest, this thing will sit there, and I would imagine there's a really high percentage of these things that they don't get used.
No, absolutely. Well, that's the idea. You hope they don't get used.
Well, yeah.
But I had a phone call in the office this morning, and a chap had a small fire yesterday and or last night, and he'd used a couple of extinguishers and a couple of fire blankets. And we're obviously getting calls like that all the time. It's surprising how many people are actually involved in fires. When I do the fire training, I always ask at the beginning if anybody's been involved in a fire. And I've been doing this for a few years now, and it comes out at about 20%, which I think is a staggeringly high number.
Yeah.
But they're not always, the fire brigade aren't always involved, so there are no figures for that. It's just my straw poll. But 20% of people, that's quite a lot.
That is. That's too high, to be honest, isn't
it?
Yeah. Okay, so how do we get hold of you? How do we find out a bit more, just in case there's people out there thinking, hey, hang on a minute, I need to see this guy.
Yeah, well, we've got the website, which is whitefire.co.uk. I'm available on the phone. The office is 407-155. And my email is steve@whitefire.co.uk.
Okay, what was the website again?
Whitefire.co.uk.
Okay, and anything else you want to say before you go?
No, but if anybody's got any questions, just feel free to email or give me a call.
Yeah, no, brilliant, that sounds great. Thanks for coming in, I really appreciate it. It's a real eye-opener, to be honest.